Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And joining me in studio right now is Steve Cadeau from the Copper Country Habitat for Humanity. He's the executive director of the local chapter. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Copper Country Habitat for Humanity. I've had some experience with the organization just from the news side. It's always been fun to go out to a location when they've got a nice new home built and the people that are getting ready to move in, they're always so excited. I mean, it's been a, you know, it's a great opportunity for them. And from the news end, I've tried to, you know, explain just how it works, the whole arrangement with providing these homes and the things that your organization does. But in a news story, I only have, you know, really a matter of a few seconds, maybe as much 60 or 90 seconds to tell somebody's story. Here on Copper Country Today, we have a much longer segment to be able to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, who your organization is and how they help people and really some of the needs that you may have as well. So, Steve, let's go ahead and start with the beginning. Where did Copper Country Habitat Humanity come from?
Well, from Habitat for Humanity International, which was founded in the 1970s. But we were founded in 1995. Built our first home then, and we built 28 homes altogether since then. Our last one 2 years ago, but we're building another one this summer. I hope, anyway.
28 homes in just over 20 years, so you're averaging more than one a year.
Yes. We've built as many as three in 1 year, but mostly it's just one a year. At times there's been two, and at times there's been none, and that's due to either lack of building site or lack of applicant. Our building sites are generally donated. We are looking to purchase property all the time, but we're not purchasing it at current value because this is a little. Or we rely on donations and grants and people's generosity to help another person. So,
well, before we get into the process that leads to somebody having a house built for them, what other services do you provide besides building houses?
Well, we do critical repairs. And then a brush with kindness. Critical repairs is people who have an existing home and need help with roofing, windows, doors, weatherization, electrical, plumbing. It's a new program, well, not necessarily a new program, but new for us because we're really expanding into it now. Brush with kindness is just a neighborly cleanup in a sense, like we paint the house. Clean the yard, fix up the yard, that kind of thing is a brush with kindness. Those are the three programs that we do, and it's all volunteer basis, with the exception of our paid contractor. We have one construction supervisor to supervise everything. So,
well, I can see the need for the critical repair, especially in an area like this where a lot of people have, you know, they've owned their own home for, you know, 50 years sometimes, and, you know, they've lived in the same place, but, you know, the economy and, you know, situation sometimes what it is, a lot of people don't have a lot of money, and if you have something like a roof repair, you know, your house could be practically worthless because it's hard to live in a house that has, you know, got a, you know, major roof problem or something of that nature.
That's correct. Yeah, and a lot of the people are single parent families or retired senior citizens who don't have, like you said, don't have the money to just pay a contractor to come in and do the work. And a lot of them also don't know what's needed in their house. They call us up and put in an application for weatherization, and you go in, you find out they have more critical health and safety needs that we do first. So we always do that health and safety inspection. And then from there, then we will list items that we can do within their budget. There is a budget. And they pay back a 0% interest loan for the critical repairs. And it's less than $100 a month, generally 50. We have capped the critical repairs in the past, but now we have some grants available to help us not cap it. So we generally try to keep it around $3,000, but we've went up a little higher at times.
As the need requires, yes. I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, who makes Copper Country Habitat for Humanity possible? Who's involved in this?
There's a board of 10 volunteers. Actually, I think we're at 12 now. 10 is the minimum. And they govern the practices of, and we're based on Habitat for Humanity International is guidelines. It's a nonprofit organization, Christian oriented. Our motto is to give a hand up, not a hand out. And we want to see a world where everyone has a decent place to live. So we really know that there's a need for housing out there, and in the Copper Country for sure, not just building new home, but the critical repairs. And we're relying on volunteers to do the work, on local, well, anybody to donate funds, and on grants available from businesses or companies, larger companies sometimes, or the government or Habitat itself.
Do you find yourself in need of volunteers?
Yes. Volunteers is the biggest critical need we have right now. We have a lot of tech and Finlandia students to help, but we really need, and we had a really good local base who are getting older, like myself. They're getting up there in age now, and they can't do all the stuff that the younger guys do. So we really need a lot of help from different ages. And we generally work on Thursday and Friday, or Saturday, I'm sorry, from 9 till 3. Sometimes it's a fuller day. But that's, I know Thursdays are hard, but Saturdays, people mostly are off. We really need anywhere from 2 to 20 volunteers, depending on the project we do. Generally, for critical repair, it's 2 to 6, 2 to 8 volunteers we need.
Any qualifications that you have to be a volunteer?
Just the desire to do it, yeah.
A number of years ago, I was involved with a youth group out of downstate Michigan, and one of the mission trips that we took was to Florida to work with Habitat for Humanity in Florida. And it was not a, you know, if you typically think of a Florida trip, you're going to beaches and stuff. That was one of the big complaints that the youth group had was, you know, you're in kind of a roach infested hotel, and they were working all day long because they were there to work. It was a mission trip, but it was, you know, my 110-pound wife out there with a jackhammer, you know, working, busting up, you know, some old cement and these youth and adults. It was a mix, working on, you know, building a home for Habitat for Humanity. And so, you know, here in this area, in our area here, you don't have to go to Florida to, you know, commit that kind of service. It's needed right here, as you've mentioned.
Yes. And we have a construction supervisor that we contract actually with, and his job is to teach everybody safe use of tools. If, for example, we don't let any youth under 16 do tools unless they have a release from their parents. And same thing with 16, I should say under 18, because the 16, 17-year-olds also have to have a release from their parents.
So if you are volunteering and you're working on a project, what if you don't have, like, all summer? You have, you know, a weekend or a week. Are you still able to volunteer? Are you still looking for short-time help, I guess?
Yes. We take, sometimes people can only help 2 hours in a day. We'll take that. We prefer you to come for the half a day or the full day. But we take anyone that wants to help. People can help just by bringing lunches. They can help by doing a fundraiser, you know, besides the actual construction. We also need help in our restore. We have the restore in Calumet, which all the proceeds from that help us build homes or repair homes. And he needs one or two volunteers every day, Joseph does, to help at the restore, help sell things or help organize the restore.
Now, I actually live up, not just really, literally down the street from that restore. I haven't stopped in there before. I've always driven back by it. And I get the impression just driving by that it's for, you know, those that do contracting work and stuff. You're saying there's a lot there for the public.
Oh, yes. The restore itself is open to the public to buy, purchase thing, items. They're donated items, so they're not being sold for top dollar. Joseph evaluates them and puts a, it's like a resale store, all the proceeds help us build or do critical repairs, so it's really important, and it's doing well. We're looking for property in the Houghton Hancock area, either or a store to move, but right now that restore in Calumet is lifesaver for us in a sense.
All right. I do want to mention one more thing on the volunteers, because I know, like our company, we do group volunteering, like with highway cleanup and, those type of things is what we look at. And so this strikes me as something that, a small company like ours, or, those that are so many of them here in our area, were as a group project, the employees can get together and volunteer time for Habitat for Humanity, that would be a good thing for them to look into as well.
Definitely.
All right, well, let's talk about how this all happens. It begins with you, with another need of yours, and that's actually applicants. So you're looking for people that, able to accept this help.
Yes, and there's three criteria: the need for housing, financial ability. It's between 30% and 60% of the average median income that who qualify, and then the willingness to partner. They have to be willing to do some sweat equity in the home, chip in and help right along with the volunteers. And when we build a new home, the volunteers want to see the homeowners working, and the owner, either the future home or the current home, can get up to 25% of the sweat equity done by family members. So it's their family members helping also.
Yeah,
so
that was going to be my next question. What if physically you're unable to put in that sweat, but you still want to help, but you're just, you're not going to be hammering in any 2x4s?
No. And for some, they can't, help at all, like you said, on the construction. So we have mailings that we do for our newsletter. We have other work like volunteering for fundraisers, bringing or preparing snacks or whatever. Those kind of things are all considered sweat equity. So, and then every applicant who applies for a home and is approved has to go through a financial counseling. And that's to teach them all the things that to expect when they buy a home afterward. Once they're in the home, what to expect, the budget for, plan for. And that all counts as sweat equity. So,
how do you determine those that, I guess, are deserving of this and those that may not be the best choice to build somebody a home that may not make good on their sweat equity or down the road on the payments?
We have first, it's an application. We have the applications in the office or our email on our website also. You fill out an application, and then the selection committee looks it over, and then they will decide who may be a good possibility, and then have a meeting with them, and then talk to them, probably up to three meetings they have before they really approve them. Mm. And then that's determining whether or not they'll do the sweat equity and that kind of thing is done in that meeting.
Okay, so you do have to screen, to some degree and make sure that you got a good candidate for this. And so they put in this sweat equity, but you mentioned a loan, that there's still a payback monetarily for this.
Yes, there is. For new homes, it's a mortgage. For critical repairs, it's a promissory note. And then we have one new one, the rural USDA, Rural Development Agency, is giving rural development loans, and they're helping us do critical repairs for people who really need major repairs. Like we had a roof we just did that was funded through that loan, and they have to qualify there too as well. But except for that loan is a 0.1% loan. Our housing loans now is 0.01, and that's only because of the federal regulations to cover the costs for the mortgage company. Our mortgages are funded through the Michigan Fund in Lansing, and there's no interest other than that. The escrow that includes taxes and property insurance, that's paid on a monthly basis, as well as the mortgage. And our critical repairs is no interest loan, except for that one through USDA. And they pay back for between $50 and $100 a month until it's paid off.
I'm sure you get asked often, with so many homes that are empty here, why build new homes as opposed to putting the money into renovating a home that already exists?
Because Habitat is one of the primary agencies that promote good, efficient energy-efficient homes. And they have done a lot of research in the past and continue to do it to improve the energy efficiency of a new home. And so, for a family, a young family starting out, for example, if they can get an energy-efficient home where their electrical and heating bills are low, it's more cost-efficient to build a home than it is to repair an older home for that. But on the critical repairs, that's part of our plan, is to fix the windows and do the weatherization, the seal, rim seal, and everything we can to do the make the home more efficient. One of the things Habitat has learned, that you can make a home too tight, especially an older home. So we've learned to allow the home to breathe.
What do you mean by
new homes? The new home, like for example, new homes, we have a heat exchanger to bring in some of the cold air and heat it, as opposed so the house doesn't sweat and then get mildew and other damage because of that. So, and same thing with the old home. We sometimes it's better that the house breathes so it doesn't build up mildew and mold and then cause other problems.
All right. Well, following this, you know, line of you have an applicant and they've been approved, and now that they're going to have the money to pay back a loan, and then you need a location. Where do the locations come from? I thought you mentioned that they're donated oftentimes.
Often they're donated. We've bought in lots, and we currently have a lot in Houghton. We have two lots in South Range that we plan to build on a lot in Houghton, and where we build depends on where the person wants to live or is willing to live. Out of our 28 homes, we've had them in Alloway, Calumet, Laurium, here in town, Dodgeville, Painesdale, South Range, Houghton, Hancock. So, anywhere we can get a building lot, we're looking to purchase it as cheaply as we can, or if people want to donate it, we're very happy to accept it. We've even looked at older homes that people have wanted to donate to tear down and build, but most of those are too cost prohibitive to tear down for us to be able to build on the lot. But we'll consider anything that somebody wants to donate.
Yeah, people will be surprised how much it costs to tear down something here. I know the state won't even provide money just for tearing down something.
That's correct.
You know, they take the let it fall, stance. It's the... I forget the name of it, but it's a demolition by neglect, I think, is something yes. What they call it. Just to let the things fall down. That's the state's plan. So, yeah. A lot of times those old houses that we say, wow, house is just sitting there and, the roof's caved in and there's no windows in the thing and it's, there's animals living inside of it. You think, well, there's really no financial way to renovate that home and make, the amount of money that you would have to put in, even if the foundation was still good, it far outweighed building a new one. And certainly if you were looking to sell a home that you renovated like that, you'd never get your money from it.
That's right.
So, okay. So now the housing, the building begins. About how long of a process is that?
It generally takes about 6 months. Sometimes it's longer. Like the lot we have now, we have to start by clearing it. It's a wooded lot. and then dig the foundation. And then from that point on, once the foundation's laid, then we build, and that process can take, like I said, about 6 months altogether. People can get into it only after it's completely built. There may be some work inside that where they can still do their sweat equity, but generally it has to be fully complete before they get the keys to it and be able to get in.
If there's needs like for handicap needs or other type of special features of the house, are you able to incorporate those into the design?
In fact, all our houses are handicap accessible. That's part of the Habitat's requirement. So even the two-story houses, a few of them that we've built, they're Habitat accessible on the railing to go upstairs. But to get in the house, most of our houses have ramps. Not all of them, but when it's called for, we put a ramp on. Most of the houses we build now are on a floating slab so that it's just a small step to get into the house at the front. And if, like I said, if they're handicapped, then we build a ramp.
So, the house takes about 6 months to build. It is built with volunteer help with under the direction of a contractor. So, you know, it's being built correctly and up to code.
Correct.
And now then you have nice ceremony, because I've been to them, a couple of them, the move-in ceremony.
Yes.
And it's really a touching day. And, you know, what's going through the minds of not only the volunteers, but the people who are just about to move into their new home?
Everyone is just so excited and so happy because after all this hard work, you know, long, lengthy process, now they get in their home. And once they get the keys and they go in, it's their home. We guarantee our work for up to a year, you know, so if there's any defects, we'll go back in and fix. But from that point on, then, and then other than things that are have a longer warranty, like a roof or whatever, those warranties go right to the homeowner. But once that they're in, then they have all the aspects of what, you know, taking care of the home. But most of them are so excited that they can't wait.
Do you maintain a relationship with them after they've moved in, other than just to, you know, make, you know, the for the repairs and stuff? I mean, is it continue?
Yes, very good question, because we do have a family partner that we assign at the very beginning. Right after they're approved, they get a family partner, and that person or persons stay with them till that year is up at the afterward. And we've had occasions for that family partner to even go back in and talk to them. If we find out from the Michigan Fund that they're behind a month or two on their mortgage, we'll ask the family partner to go in and talk to them and find out what the reason is and help them get back on track.
Do you find mostly success stories with this process?
Yes, definitely. I've been executive director since June of 2015, and we've had three homes that have been paid off. One more is happening within the next month. And we've had, unfortunately, one home that we got back. We had to foreclose on, and another that was given to us basically as the person died, and the family gave it back to us. So we have two homes in Calumet, Laurium, or actually they're in Laurium, that need a home.
Need people to move into it.
People live in it. Yeah. And so we have a couple potential, but we need more applicants because we can actually build. As like you said, we built two in a year, two or three homes if we need to, as long as we get the volunteers. And I know there's applicants out there who apply. It is a long process. That's probably what holds a lot of people from applying. But to get a home that's you're paying 0.01% interest and energy efficient, so your electric bills and heating bills are cheaper. It's very rare to be able to get that opportunity. So it's worth the wait. It's worth the sweat equity. And
how do you apply?
We have applications, like I said, either call the office at 482-5376 or go online to our website. It's through Hutera. I've got it written down. Okay. It's hfh-mi-coppercountry.hutera.org, and we have the applications right on the website.
And is that also, if you want to sign up for your newsletter, do you do that as well at that place?
Yes.
Okay. Because we get your newsletter here, and it's very informative. As if you have any questions or you need to, you know, contact information for somebody, it's all there on the newsletter.
Right.
All right. After you've, you know, all this has happened, a person is they pay off their mortgage. Do they own that home? Could they do they have to stay? Could they sell it if their financial situation improves? I mean, or do they have to give it back to Habitat for Humanity? What happens down the road?
Once it's paid off, it's theirs. Yep, and it goes to their heirs. We've had one that's paid it off early, and generally. They get some sweat equity grant, but it's home equity grant when they move in, so they're actually not paying the whole cost of the home. That was more in the past than it is now, but that still happens. And they have to pay that back. We have now MISHTA just opened all the counties, all our communities in Michigan, before there was only certain communities that would give a MSHA a home assistance grant, and now it's available to any homeowner if they qualify for it. And that doesn't have to be paid back if you pay, you know, your home off on time. If you pay, if you prepay it, you have to pay a portion of it back, just like the home equity grants that we had them before. And they still, it was still cheaper to pay that back. And I think this person was selling the house that paid it off early.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for coming on the program, and I want to encourage people to, you know, help out Copper Country Humane, or Copper Country Habitat for Humanity, by either by volunteering, donating, and of course, if you are in need, I hope that they would get in contact with you, fill out one of those applications, and get moved into a nice new home.
Yes, thank you very much.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.